And welcome back. We've got two lines now for you rolling, plus we'll have seven more in just a second and much more later on for open lines tonight on Coast to Coast AM, plus a special hotline number. That is 818-817-0021. 818-817-0021. Your good luck, your bad luck line on Coast to Coast AM. A couple emails in. I want to share them with you. First, one of them kind of sad, and we need your help. This little boy is now on the prayer list, so do what you can, and it is Friday. This is from Pat. George, I listen to your show often, and I've told many about your show. You once were asked the question, what would be the worst thing that could happen to you? Your answer? If something were to happen to one of your children. I will never forget your answer, in that I feel the same way. Our 7-year-old grandson, Court, has a brain tumor. I can't bring myself to say any more. It says it all. There just isn't enough done for a cure, just prolonging life somewhat. He's a beautiful child, and my son is a wonderful father. If you have a Coast to Coast prayer anytime soon, please include our little guy. You know, I'm with you. The worst thing that could happen to us just happened. Keep up the good work, kindness on your project with your listeners. Pat. So let's put little Court on the prayer list, and you do what you're going to do. I got another email in from Neil. Neil and his wife, Becky, went to visit Robert the Haunted Doll down in Florida. I get this email from Neil. He copied me. I guess he sent one to Robert the Haunted Doll as well. Listen to this. Hi, Robert. My wife, Becky, and I visited you on April 9th of this year and took two pictures of you. After the second picture, my digital camera malfunctioned, so I was unable to take a third. Well, it started working again when I walked away from you. And when I walked back to you, I took a third picture. Later, I took some pictures of all the letters of apology from people who took your picture without asking. I didn't ask to take your picture because I thought your curse was nonsense. Well, the next day at our hotel, I lost my $300 prescription sunglasses, my watch, and my hotel key, all on the same day. On April 27th, I was involved in a minor car accident in my company parking lot. A guy backed out and into the side of my car. The damage is not that bad. It's a minor dent. I'm attaching a picture of the dent for your viewing pleasure, Robert. And get this. The guy is making a claim against my insurance. Robert, did you tell this guy to go back and back out so fast? Did you give him the nutty idea to blame me when he was obviously at least partly at fault? Hey, Robert, a big light bulb just lit up my head. Since my car has minor damage, less than my deductible, I'm not going to get it fixed. Instead, when I buy a new car in a few years, I'm going to give it to the Cars Ministry at my church. The Cars Ministry is run by the pastor's brother. They fix up old cars and give them to needy families. I'm going to put this letter in the glove box just so the lucky new needy owner of a free Honda Civic Hybrid will know who to thank for a wonderful gift of a cheap transportation. You see, Robert, you are not really a living, breathing person, are you? Your curse exists only as an intention, a negative intention. Your intention is real because a few thousand people believe in it. There are roughly 2.3 billion believers in the cross. So you take this email as an invitation to come back from the dark side and go to the light. One more question, Robert. The closest major league team to you is the Florida Marlins, and I'm a Cubs fan, Robert. What were you doing just prior to October 14th of 2003? Did you have any contact with a guy named Steve Bartman? Now, for those of you who don't know of the Steve Bartman incident, let me tell you about that for just a second. It occurred during a Major League Baseball playoff game between the Chicago Cubs and the Florida Marlins. That was October 14, 2003, at Wrigley Field in Chicago. In the eighth inning of Game 6 of the National League Championship Series, Chicago ahead 3-0, holding a 3-2 lead in the best-of-7 series. All they had to do was win this game. several spectators attempted to catch a fall ball off the bat of a Marlins second baseman, Luis Castillo. One of the fans, Steve Bartman, touched the ball once it crossed into the stands, disrupting a potential catch by Cubs outfielder Moises Alou. If Alou had caught the ball, it would have been the second out in the inning, and the Cubs would have been just four outs away from winning the National League pennant. Instead, the Cubs relinquished the lead that inning and then lost the game. When they were eliminated in the seventh game the next day, the Steve Bartman incident was seen as the turning point of the series. In the aftermath of the incident, Bartman, a lifelong Cubs fan, had to be escorted from the stadium by security guards and received police protection for a time when his name and address were made public on Major League Baseball message boards. So Neil believes that perhaps Steve might have had some contact with Robert the Haunted Doll. You know, Children International has asked us to take on a specific challenge. There's a place near Cartagena, Colombia, known affectionately as the Swamp of the Virgin. It's an awful place. We're going to help some kids who live there. I urge you to view the photos that we've posted on our website. Let your heart do the rest. You won't believe that precious children have no choice but to live in these conditions. We're looking for 89 sponsors. That's it. At 75 cents a day to get these kids taken care of so they're not bitten by mosquitoes, possible snakes, rats, living in contaminated water from a swamp that sweeps and seeps into their homes. Children International works in and around the area, and they need your help. You can go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, click the banner, you'll see it. It says Rescue Kids in the Swamp, and you take it away. If you don't have a computer, call 1-800-301-9194. Okay, welcome aboard the Coast to Coast ship. We've got open lines for you. Don't forget our hotline, Good Luck, Bad Luck, Friday the 13th. That's 818-817-0021. To the phones we go. We'll go to Randy in Dayton, Ohio, on the wild card line. Hey, Randy, welcome to the show.
Mr. Norrie, it's an honor.
It's Moondog.
You bet.
I know that voice.
Well, you know, I had to call in. I mean,
thank God you didn't flush the toilet this time. You'll never live that down, Randy.
Let me tell you.
The rest of your life.
Well, let me tell you, there is nobody that I've got so many friends on the internet, you know, from old Coast to Coast guys, Nighthawk Zone people, and the new Into Infinity Forum people. Some of them never heard it, and they all understand what that was all about. And you remember John Fogerty, he called in to Tommy and told him about that. It was the funniest thing he has ever heard.
That's right. And John Fogerty is a great listener to this program. You know, a lot of superb musicians, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, Dusty listens, Frank Beard, all of them, they all listen. Sure. John Fogerty listens. You know, they're just good people.
I heard them.
Billy Mooney listens. Johnny Crawford listens.
Listen. Oh, God, you need to get these people on the show.
Robbie Krieger, Ray Manzarek from the Doors, they all listen.
Well, let me,
George, Gary Busey listens. But anyways, what's going on, Moondog?
Well, let me tell you, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. You're the caller. That's not my show.
Okay, you're the boss.
Well,
listen.
The buck stops somewhere.
I am not superstitious at all. I mean, I've experienced a whole lot in my life. I've experienced near death, everything.
Almost recently, right?
I had to bypass, and I had an accident with the semi. But I just want to say one thing. Last night I called. Your guest was on, and you were talking about, superstition and stuff like that. Well, I called, phone rung, your screener answered the phone. And I said, this is Tommy. And I didn't get his name, but it was not Tommy.
No, it was Will. Tommy had the night off last night.
Right. He said that he asked who I was. I said, it's Moondog. I said, I'm a regular caller at night from, Georgia knows who I am and everything. And I was going to tell you, the question I was going to say to the lady that was on the guest last night.
Dr. Lieberman, right? Carol Lieberman.
She has, you know, the question is, what do you call someone that does not believe in superstition? You know, you got like, you know, people, arachnophobia, people.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. But people who don't believe.
Exactly. So this bigger screener, I got to give him some thumbs up on this. He says, sir, he said, do you mind letting other people that are waiting to talk to George talk on the phone? And I said, I absolutely do not. So I got in on Friday the 14th or Saturday the 14th, but you know, that was really cool of him doing that. And I was so happy to let someone else call. I call as soon as I push in a number, I get in every time.
He's a good mannered. He's a young guy and he's studying and learning. So Tom is training him as, you know, additional backups and he's a good guy. Yep. Sure. But I think your answer is those who are, you know, against phobias, they're antiphobia.
Really? Antiphobia.
Yeah. Think of that. Antiphobia.
Well, you know, it's real funny. It's, you know, when I call this number, George, I get in every time.
You're one of the lucky. You well know that it's taken some people 8-9 years to get through. So yeah, whatever your secret is. It's, you know what? Do you buy lottery tickets, Randy?
Yes, I do.
Are you lucky with them?
Very well.
See, it runs with you for some reason. Let me take a few other calls, too. Let me ask permission. Do you mind if I go on to another caller?
Sir, it's your show. It's our show. Be my guest.
All right, thanks. Randy was, I was on a remote once, and he had been on hold for at least an hour, the poor guy. He got through, was not going to hang up. He waited, he waited, he waited. He probably waited too long because just when I went to him, he flushed the toilet. And the rest is history. The folks over at Into Infinity will not let him live that down now. Okay, back to the other calls. We'll go to Joanna in New York on the wild card line. Hi, Joanna.
Oh, hi. Good morning, George. How
morning
are you
to
today?
You. Good.
Well, I wanted to first share a real quick observation, and I thought I'd tell you one of the luckiest things that happened in my life.
Sure.
On this Friday the 13th. Well, the observation is this. In the Northern Hemisphere, I've always been told that our water is supposed to go down the drain clockwise. And about 2 years ago, I noticed it kind of sometimes starting counterclockwise and then, you know, switching, you know, correcting itself. And lately, I've noticed it, you know, just happy to go down it about half the time, it just goes down kind of clockwise. So I was wondering, you know, if that relates to the magnetics of the earth changing, or, you know, if this has been a myth I've heard all these years, or, you know.
It should go clockwise.
Yeah.
If
well,
it's going contrary to that, there's something weird going on. And of course, you know, there's something happening with our magnetic field.
Yeah, that's what I suspected, because you know, like I said, about 2 years ago, it would reluctantly, you know, once in a while start counterclockwise and then, you know, switch back. And now it just seems, you know, half the times it's just happy to go down counterclockwise. So
that is weird.
I don't know if other people noticed it or maybe we should all start looking.
I'm going to start looking because I've not paid attention to that.
I thought magnetics as well. Well, you want to hear the lucky thing?
Tell me the lucky thing.
Okay, when I was a kid, maybe, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, there was a church carnival, and they had a bunch of booths where you spin the wheel, win a prize. It was like, they were like big booths, you know, like number probably almost up, maybe up to 100, 1 to 100, and they had, you know, decent prizes, not just the, you know, giant plastic comb. So I saw one really nice fishing tackle box, and it was a nickel a spin. So, you know, being a kid, I had no money. I went and asked my mom, you know, please, please give me a nickel. So she gives me one nickel, and I kind of look at her like, okay, what do I do? And she goes, okay, number 33, that's her lucky number. So I go running over to the booth with the tackle box, put my one nickel on 33. First spin, it comes up. So I get this really nice fishing tackle box. I go run through the crowd and find my mom. You know, look, I won. She's like, well, okay. And, you know, I asked her for one more nickel. She gives me one nickel. same thing. I went to another booth, and I think I saw basketball. Put my one nickel on 33. For a spin, it comes up. So I go running back to my mom. Look, look, I got it. She's like, wait a minute. Where did you get that from? I'm like, oh, I won it. I won it. She gives me one more nickel. Same thing, 33. Forgot what I got the third time, but anyway, three times in a row, and number 33, and then it didn't work anymore.
Well, but that, you know, so, what? That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You were pushing your luck. You should have stopped at three.
Well, you know, I was young. I had to learn. I'm sure I did not get too many more nickels after that.
No, you didn't. But that's pretty cool to be able to do that. Let's go to Carlos in Carson, California. Hey, Carlos, how are you?
Oh, very good, George. I met you here in California one time.
At one of the events?
Yes, over in close to Northridge somewhere.
Sure.
I forget exactly where it was. But I did meet you one time. I'm proud of that. But anyway, George, look, our country has a nasty habit, historically, of creating hoaxes in order to gain entrance and justification into wars. We did it against the Spanish. We created a hoax in the Spanish-American War. We did it in the First World War. We provoked the Japanese to attack us in the Second World War. And we had that the hoax of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which led us into Vietnam. Then we had the hoax about Bin Laden attacking us, which, in my estimate, was probably done by the Israeli Assad.
No, see, I think Bin Laden was part of it. I really do. I mean, there's just either the facade, Carlos, is so good, or you know, he was doing it by himself. I think he was involved with some other people.
Well, I think he was a decoy, just like Lee Harvey Oswald was a decoy. Okay.
Well, Oswald was a patsy. I believe that, but I think Bin Laden was involved a little bit more than some people are giving him credit for.
Yeah, but I believe the Israeli Mossad had something to do with it, because Israel profits from this whole thing greatly. We're wiping out their competition. But lately, this episode about Osama bin Laden's death has catapulted us into a very dangerous situation, because now we are in a position to be hit back.
Oh, we always were, though, weren't we?
What's that?
We always were in a position to get hit again.
Yes, but now it's going to have like a perfect... They're going to have like a perfect justification. The Illuminati is running this whole thing. You know, it's not the Arabs out there, the Muslim people doing this. They're controlled opposition, and now it's a justification to hit us back and catapult us into a higher level of warfare, which will probably lead to a nuclear war down the line.
Well, it might, but see, you're very close in your theory, but I believe it's this group, you call it the Illuminati, let's use that for a moment, that worked with someone like Bin Laden. There's too much evidence out there. There's too many crazy people. I mean, we know there were 19 mostly Saudis who got on the planes and smashed them into buildings. Now, were there other things that took those buildings down? Maybe. If you listen to the show with Dr. Judy Wood, where she talks about the energy technology that was contributing to pulverize those buildings, that's possible. Remember Building 7? That went down. Nothing really hit that. It had some fire in, spin-off material, but not enough to knock a building down. That's all bizarre, too. But I think Osama bin Laden was working. He was the financier. He was the money man. You know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed went to him, I've got this great idea, let's do this. But there were others involved. I mean, it is too coincidental, and I don't believe in coincidences, that bin Laden was very close with the CIA, that he had been monitored for years, that he had escaped several other times when we tried to get him, then we didn't get him when we had other opportunities. And the fact that he's been on the lam for 10 years is bizarre to me. The whole thing. So I think you're very right, Carlos, in most of the things you're saying. Israel has been a friend of the United States for years. I wish that they were able to work out a situation with the Palestinians and work out a homeland for those poor, oppressed people. That needs to be done. But I do not believe that they were part of this tragedy that happened a long time ago. Look, we're already at the bottom of the hour. I'll be back with more of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Indeed, indeed. Plus, it's Friday the 13th, at least it was just a few hours ago. Good news, bad news for you. That hotline is 818-817-0021. Hey, by the way, if you can afford 25 cents a day, you can become a Coast Insider, a Streamlink member. 25 cents a day. We've lowered it as low as we can because of the bandwidth costs and digital everything else. But that's what it's down to, 25 cents a day. If I had a quarter, I do have a quarter on me. I want you to hear this for 1 second. That's it. That's what a quarter is. You can be a Streamlink member for that every day. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com, and we do a video chat now when I'm in Los Angeles every month when I'm here. I might be doing it when I'm in St. Louis in the cave. I get that thing set up. Okay, we'll be back in a moment. We'll take the rest of your open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. So I'm getting into this little argument with producer Tom over this quarter I just dropped because of Coast Insiders, you know, so you could hear what a quarter sounds like. That's how much it costs every day. And he said, you don't have a quarter. And I said, yes, it is a quarter. And I reached in my pocket again. I showed it to him. He said, no, that sounded like a nickel.
It sounded like a nickel, George. I heard you, I saw you drop it, but I didn't see a quarter. It sounded like a nickel to me.
It's a quarter.
It really did. Anyways, listen, I've got a text here from Jose in Moorpark, California. And he says, George, I'm a Hispanic and we have stories of chupacabras. Do you believe in such creatures?
Of course. I don't know what they are, but there's no question in my mind that there is a creature out there. Many call the chupacabra the goat sucker, blood sucker. It's out there. It's been there. And of course, it originated initially in Puerto Rico. And now we get a lot of different comments and calls from people in Texas and areas like that. But there's a creature on this planet.
Yeah, especially what it is. From the Latin American communities. And I actually have a friend who was born in El Paso. He swears to me this thing's true and the stories they tell.
I think it's real.
I think so,
too. Thanks, Tom. Okay, let's go next to the other calls. Dennis is in Chicago. On the wild card? No, he's on the Friday 13th line. Hey, Dennis, welcome.
Hey, George, I've got through three times. The third time I got through.
Super.
So, and then I won three lottery tickets today.
How much? How much total?
50, one for 50, one for $6, and one for 10.
That's pretty good. So you got your money back and then some.
Oh, yeah. Also, I figured out something about the disappearing of the Twin Towers.
What'd you figure out?
Did you ever see the movie where the Earth stood still?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the beam that the alien used to melt the tanks?
Yep.
There you go.
Laser beam. Well, you know, Dr. Judy Wood said it was a beam. Also, directed energy.
But they might have stolen. They might have stolen it from an alien aircraft.
Well, you never know.
Oh.
That's a good point. How's things in Chicago?
Oh, everything's fine. The weather's just nice. We got a little rain today, but not too much.
I just had one of Al Capone's relatives on earlier this week.
Oh, really?
It's a great story.
Well, I got a remote viewer type story I want to tell you.
Yeah.
It was in January. My mother died in 08. And so anyways, after the funeral and everything went through, and I got a letter from Lifeline. It's one of your companies used to advertise.
Sure.
It's your show. You remember them.
Right.
But anyways, something keeps pointing to me to pick up the letter and read it. And I read it and I put it down. And then it told me again, pick it up. And I put it down. I kept picking it up. And all of a sudden I said, well, let me check it out. I opened it up and it says that we're local town hall. They're having this Lifeline thing, you know. But anyways, I went there and I found out that I had my aorta was ballooned.
Oh my gosh, that'll kill you! You know it?
Yes, they told me to go to the hospital right away, which I did. And she said, "Lucky I came, because if I lifted anything or did something strenuous, I would have."
You would have been gone.
I would have been gone.
I think that's what killed John Ritter, the actor.
So I found out I was a remote viewer by. Something told me, your guardian angel or whatever you might believe, you know. Well, I believe in angels, you know. I believe in guardian angels, and then something told me to actually open that letter.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I'm going to be in Chicago sometime in June, by the way, speaking before Health Freedom Expo out there. Just keep tabs on our calendar section. I don't think it's posted yet, but we will. Lots of schedules coming up, lots of engagements. Redding, California, I believe we are going to be there. And Las Vegas, possibly there. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Maybe New York later, Los Angeles. So lots of traveling coming up. I can't believe we're going into June in a few more weeks. Can you believe that? Plus, we've got a special program for you on Memorial Day. The first hour, we're going to talk about an incredible story about the USS Indianapolis. We cannot let a Memorial Day go by without remembering our men and women, our soldiers, our fallen. And then later on in the program, I have asked for a behind the secret door, and I think we're going to get that. So producers are working on that. And you know what that is. Those are guests who come on the program. I have no idea who they are. And by a process of hearing their voice and what they're doing, I figure out who I'm interviewing. And fortunately, again, I've got about an 85 to 90% hit rate on that. A couple people have stumped me, but not a lot. Let's go back to the phones. Bob, it's Bob or Bo? First time caller. New Orleans, it's Louisiana. Bo. Hey, Bo, how are you?
How are you, George? It is an honor to be on this show.
Thanks. And how are things in New Orleans? No flooding yet, right?
No, I'm actually in a small town called Delcom, which is 2 hours away, and nobody's heard of it. So
I hear you could lose a small little town of 800 homes to protect New Orleans.
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, I have a camp there, so it's pretty sad. Pretty sad.
Oh well.
But I need your help. I need your advice. George.
Okay, I'll do the best I can. What's up?
Been listening to the show and never had a reason to call in till now. But okay, I have a grandmother who passed away last year. My grandfather passed away 25 years ago. I was 5 years old.
Okay.
Well, she's been seeing. She had, like, towards the latter part of her life, she started seeing these strange things in her house. First was a red, like somebody would have been shining a laser light or something, one of those red little pin lights in her window.
Okay.
That was the first thing. Happened for 2 nights, changed the curtains, which were old as she had forever, went away. Next thing. She's laying in bed, goes to pull the covers up, you know, to tuck herself in at night.
Sure.
They kind of stop below her waist. So she gives it a little tug. Well, she said, like, the blanket from her feet flew straight up in the air, and the blanket was, you know, up, vertical, over her.
Over her. Like somebody was on the other side and just pulled them up.
Yeah, just held it up on top of her. Next thing, she's using the restroom. In the bathtub, she said they had a beating human heart, beating blood. Next thing, a puppy jumps on top of her car on the hood, grows old to an old dog, gray hair, loses the hair.
Jeez.
You know, all the way to ashes till the wind blows it away. So she prays.
Like a reverse Benjamin Button.
Yes, this is just.
That's
bad
weird.
News. So she's freaked out about it. She's pretty sane, too. She was pretty sane, even in the end. So she prayed to my grandfather if it was him, you know, he was scaring her or whatnot. Well, then my mother told me a story that my grandpa, who was very lucrative in the town, he had 5 brothers, all good businessmen,
mm-hmm.
made a lot of money. Well, back in the days, he would bury his money in, like, 5-gallon buckets around the house.
Oh, my God.
And I heard a story about one of my dad's brothers who opened the bucket, took some money out to steal it, and didn't seal it back up. You know, didn't close the top.
Yeah.
And 10, 15 years went by, they went to get the money, and it just disintegrated.
Yeah, it was gone. Yeah.
But yeah, they had a bunch of money. They think they still have money in the house. And they said my grandfather tried to tell where it was at, but he was so sick he couldn't tell him before he passed. So then the big thing is where I need the advice now is I got offered by my father to buy the house. So I bought the house that they live in. And first I'm scared that, you know, if anything happens in the house, I have kids now and a wife, that they would be freaked out and want to leave.
I'd buy them all shovels and start digging.
Yeah, that's the second thing. I wonder if there's anyone who would help me to find the money.
You know what you need? This is what you can go find. He put this in what? What kind of containers do you know? Were they little metal containers?
Well, the first one, which I'm sure he probably changed it up, was the 5-gallon buckets with the top.
Okay, so metal detectors would detect those things, right?
Maybe so, yeah. But I mean, the whole house with copper wire.
There could be hundreds of thousands of dollars there.
Maybe so.
Go for it.
That'd be real nice.
We need to have a coast-to-coast party at your house when you buy it.
That's it.
We'll all come with our own shovels. Of course, knowing Tom. Tom's the kind of guy, if he found 10 bucks next to somebody, he'd put his foot on it and then kind of like slide away. That's the kind of guy he is.
Sketchy guy.
You got it. Okay. All right. Well, that's what I would do. If you're going to buy the house, I would do a little landscaping and do some digging in the backyard. You never know. But definitely invest in a small little metal detector. You know, the kind that beep when it goes over a piece of metal. And you never know what could be there. Let's go to Bluffton, Indiana. It's Lee's turn. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, George. I'm a longtime listener. I used to listen to RFL when I was younger.
Thank you.
I love you guys' show. I'm the first-time caller, but I couldn't get through the first-time caller line, so I tried the wild card line.
That's good. That's fine.
All right. Well, my question I had was for Lloyd when he was talking about the star child there. And, you know, I totally believe in that, you know, in aliens and all and everything like that. But my question was more so for the woman's call that he found. I was wondering if he checked her DNA and see it.
He's pretty convinced that was human. That it was a human looking skull. I'm not sure they've DNA'd that at all, Lee. But he's never doubted that it wasn't human. All human. The other one he believes is extraterrestrial.
Well, that's great. I totally believe that one. And then I also have, if I could, share with you my Friday the 13th experience.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, it's not so much mine as it is the whole state of Indiana's, so to speak.
Really?
I was listening to the news this afternoon, and I heard something about, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but it sounded pretty solid. You know, I heard something about them passing a law here for the state of Indiana that sort of, you know, do it away with the Fourth Amendment, so to speak. Police officers and cops no longer need a warrant or any reason to come into somebody's household. They don't even have to knock. They can just walk there right in the door anytime they feel like it.
If they have just cause, you mean?
Well, no, they don't have to have any cause.
They just
you know
walk right in.
They can just walk right in. Anytime. They just passed that law for Indiana here. I think it was either today or yesterday afternoon.
That's amazing. I did not hear of that. We'll try to check that out.
Yeah, check that out because, you know that just kind of ticks me off a little bit.
Here it is. It's called in Indiana, no right to resist unlawful police entry at home, according to a court. Let me read part of this story here. It says, if an officer illegally enters a home in Indiana, the resident has no right to resist. The state Supreme Court made this ruling on the basis that allowing resistance would increase the risk of violent confrontation.
So that's pretty much saying that a cop doesn't have to have any reason in order to walk into your house. You can do it at any time. You cannot resist. You cannot, you know, say, hey, I don't want you in here or nothing. You know, it to me, it looks like some sort of what's the beginning of martial law.
And apparently also this week, the court also ruled that a police officer serving a warrant can enter the home without knocking.
Right. I mean, what is this world and this country coming to?
Well, you know, we have a lot of police officers. If they can call in, I'd love for them to react to this. I don't think they'd be in favor of that at all. But we'll find out. Be able to go into your house anytime they want. Wow. We don't like that. Okay, let's go to Monroe, Virginia. Daniel's east of the Rockies. Hey, Daniel, thanks for calling.
Hey, George. I just wanted to give my thoughts on UFO disclosure.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like I was telling Tommy, I listen to your show a lot. And it just seems to me like with all the people that we have listening to your show, you can watch Ancient Aliens. You can see what happened then. You can watch UFO Hunters and see what's happening now. You can watch the news sometimes and see what's happening right now.
Sure.
Concerning UFOs and that kind of stuff, the wormholes in the sky. Everybody knows that weather balloons and crash dummies do not fit together.
So true.
But my point is that I think the statistic that I heard earlier was that it's like 50% of our country believes in extraterrestrial life.
Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's a whole lot more than that. But I mean, you know, just out of the people that I know that believe in this stuff. But if we have such a high percentage of people that believe that there's life on other planets, there's life in the universe, I don't think we really need them to tell us what we already know.
And you know what? And it's just a matter of time that, you know, we're going to stumble across civilizations that are millions of years advanced. You know, look what's happening to us every 2 years in terms of technological advance. What if what if a civilization moved along at the same clip that we have, but is a million years older than us? I mean, they must possess all kinds of technology. They know how to travel. They know how to go through wormholes. I mean, I'm sure they've been here.
Right. I believe that it's going to have that they're actually going to have to show up themselves. Is the only way it's going to happen
publicly, and let the world know.
Your major cities and stuff. That's the only way it's going to happen. That's the only way I can see it. But I don't know. If they do show up like that, I just can't. Trying to say, no, you have no right being here, setting them up and trying to make it look like an invasion.
Well, that's a possibility. You know, there's that false flag. It's called Project Bluebeam, where a number of people say, we're going to get a phony invasion in order for them, leaders, to take advantage of us even more. We need to protect you. Their aliens are coming to get us.
And furthermore, I mean, I do know a contactee.
All right. Well, let's keep in touch with that and all these other things. I do not believe disclosure is going to come from governments at all. And by the way, I've asked our producers to do a special show on Monday, May 24th, on the fact that we will still be here. And those who believe that they will be taken, I want on the program. I want them to explain why they're still here. And the invitations will go out. I'm going to invite Harold Campion, who's been out there saying that the 21st is Judgment Day and many will be taken. And I want us to finally get to the bottom of this. I'm a believer in the apocalypse. I'm a believer in end times. But I'm not a believer in mankind picking dates, saying this is going to happen. And so that's what that show probably will be like on that date. Now, when we come back in just a moment, we've still got another hour to go of open lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM. So get ready to let your fingers do the walking. And, of course, because it was Friday the 13th, give me your good news, give me your bad news. Here's the phone number, 818-817-0021. I'll be right back.